Morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2024. This hearing is for petition E-278-23 through E-293-23. The appellant is Circle K Stores, Inc. with the following parcel numbers: 1-0289-300-0001-000 and 1-0680-212-0002-000 and 1-1289-102-0001-001 and 1-1698-402-0004-003 and 1-0298-302-0732-009 and 1-0489-400-0025-00D and 1-0598-200-0013-002 and 1-0689-101-0581-006 and 1-0698-402-0215-003 and 1-1188-101-1758-001 and 1-1589-200-0003-002 and 1-2698-400-0012-000 and 1-3099-300-0004-005 and 1-3099-401-2290-001 and 1-3399-202-0021-001 and 1-3399-301-1791-001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove the valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
I so affirm.
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a series of commercial hearings. We allow an hour for these, but since there are so many that are here, we're just going to pick two representative appeals. So that'd be E-278-23 and E-293-23. So with that, I'll just try to read from the appellant's package. Their specific reason is assessor's values is in excess of fair market value. On E-278-23, they have done a cost approach showing a value of $234,197, which is a little more than, that's equivalent to what they're asking for. Key issue might be depreciation. They're showing the property at 80% depreciated. for yard and 65% depreciated for building and 80% depreciated for, looks like, canopy maybe. Yes. So going to E-293-23, just a moment.
Must be a dog at the door.
Dog at the door. I see you got a cat on the perch behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, on 293, E-293-23, same specific reason, assessor's value is in excess of fair market value. Again, the appellant did a cost approach showing a valuation of 805,491, which is consistent with their requested valuation. They're showing 49% depreciation on the building, 80% depreciation on the canopy, and 80% depreciation on yard improvements. So I guess with that, I'd like to hear from the assessor, specifically of these properties.
Yeah, there's 16 of them here. I'm just going to start off with our sales
approach. Just do the two that I've spoken about. That
okay. Well, 70. There's a couple things I want to mention in general for all of them, and then.
Okay, that's fine.
So in general, they have all of them as convenience stores, and we have them as mini marts. So there's a difference in Marshall and Swift.
Is that for the cost approach?
On the cost approach, yes. So they're a little confused on what they think a convenience store is, because on their convenience store, they're saying that I'll jump over to the one example you said. Right here for the square footage, they say the cost includes package AC, but in Marshall and Swift, if you do convenience store, it's actually forced air, so they have to make an adjustment for that. But in Mini Mart, it is package AC. I also noticed that their numbers, I think they use the wrong year for Marshall and Swift, because their numbers are not correct in the correct year for Marshall and Swift for this one. And that's throughout all of them. They also, it's just riddled with errors. They have the effective age on most of them is the same year that it was built. There's a couple that is not, but most of them is the same year. So that means that they've done no work on the building whatsoever. And that's just not how it goes. And most of them have multiple permits, thousands of dollars, some even more.
So the effective age is the same as the actual age.
That's what they're saying, yes. They put all of them as average. And if you look in Marshall and Swift, average only has small employee restrooms. Now, all of them have restrooms in them. Also, with the package AC, you can't call half the things on there. You can't call it average if half the things on there are in good. So it's got to be at least above average, and they're calling them all average. So that's going to adjust the value even more. Their number 12 is the climate. They put it down as extreme. We're not in Alaska or North Dakota.
Although it does get hot around here.
Yeah, but it's not to that degree.
It's a dry heat.
They have sprinklers on all of theirs, just to show that there's just tons of errors in it. They have sprinklers on all of theirs. Mark is the one that did this one, but I helped him. I went out to all of the Circle K's and took pictures. None of them have sprinklers. So it's just another error. They didn't bother to look into their their thing. They have all the height as 12 foot, and there's a ton of differences between some are 14 feet, some are a little lower, like 10 foot. Their perimeter multiplier is, I would say it is wrong. Some of them, you have, with the perimeter multiplier, you have to pull out four numbers, and they're based off of like 1.108. And if you have all of them are four, all of them are over one, you can't have a number that's under one, because you just, right, you can't put them together. And they have them as under one, try to lower the, so it lowers the perimeter multiplier. And then on all of the one in all of them, actually on line 25, they tell you to multiply the numbers, and they don't come up to the number that it says when you multiply all the numbers. So it's just riddled with errors. There's all kinds of issues. I don't know how deep you want me to go into them.
Oh, that's fine. I think what you're calling out is there are numerous errors in their calculations. Is, yes, that fair to say? Yes. Okay.
Are we open for questions?
Yeah.
Well, could you speak to your sales approach? Did you also do a sales approach?
Yes, we did. We kind of, since there's so many, if you remember the ones that we did on the assisted living one back in June, there was, right, so much. So we kind of just combined them all, kind of like that one. So we have a list of 11 here. Total sales were 18, but I took out ones that were sold a little too deep into 2023.
These are all local. These are all in the local area, right?
All in the local area.
Okay.
So I knocked off, if I would have included that, it would have went way up the mean and the median, but I'm not including the ones that were past February, I think it was. So okay, that knocked it down to the 11. The mean is going to be 804, and the median is going to be 780. That's page 15.
Right. And what is the subject? For 278-23, what is that subject?
You want the square footage? Is that what you want?
Well, I mean, you quoted two numbers here for median and median. Is that on a square footage basis?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So yes. What is the assessed value of these two subjects on a square footage basis?
Let's see.
One second here. Sorry, guys. $397.88 per square foot on 278 on E27823.
Okay.
Yep. And on the other one, we're looking at we're looking at $366.45 a square foot on which one is this?
293.
This one's on 287. Sorry.
Okay, I'm looking for 293.
293, yeah, bud.
It's the last one.
Oh, here it is. There we go. Give me one sec here. Looking at $584.95 a square foot on 293 is our assessed value per square foot.
Okay, so both of those values are below your median values. So, okay.
Significant.
Peter pointed out that the 293, E-293-23 also sold. In fact, it looks like it sold twice in your retail sales valuation.
Yeah. Also, I think, this one, I called the owner, and he said that he did not agree to have this one on it be appealed. He said if they could get it down, he said, I haven't agreed to anything. I haven't signed anything. And then he said that if he could get it down, then sure, he would do it. But he can't, it doesn't work that way. You can't.
So can I ask some questions at this point?
Sure. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, so if I look at the first page of the assessor's packet where it calls out the sale to Gill stores, and it looks like in the first paragraph it sold for $2,725,000, which would indicate that the assessor's valuation was 30% under the true value, what it actually sold for, and the appellant's valuation was 70% under the value that it sold for, which makes me think the appellant's really out of water with their approach. The second paragraph, I think there's an error in it, a transposition in the value of the sale, where it has the value there at $2,275,000. So I think the 2 and the 7 got transposed, and the calculation was done under that wrong number, which came up with another 30% of sales price, which is probably like 43%.
Well, Peter, on their page R15, the latest sale is $2,275,000.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Versus.
Oh, it's up above, I think. Sheet. Yeah, it's the second paragraph is probably wrong.
Yeah, it's transposed.
Yeah, okay, because we really sold for $2,725,000, I think. Is that correct?
No, they said 2,275 on page R15.
Okay, 2,275 is correct then in the second paragraph, and the first paragraph's wrong then. And right. Not only that, yeah. So it's not as far out of water, I guess, if the latter number, if the 2,275 is correct. It certainly throws into question the appellant's methodology for their valuation, because they're way off from what it actually sold for in July of 2022 to Gill.
Yeah, as the assessor said, you know, there are many errors in their calculations.
And if some of it's consistent, then this is really, it really blows their package out of water in my mind.
Yeah. Well, and this is why the state of Washington prefers the sales approach over the cost approach and over the income approach. So,
yeah, and July 18th of 2022 is pretty darn recent and right in the middle of our target.
Yeah, you notice this property actually sold twice. It actually sold in 2021 for $1,760,000. Then 10 months later, less than.
Yeah, maybe there was something unique about it. But anyway, that sways me.
Okay. Back on your point that the owner didn't ask for this valuation to be performed, there is a authorization letter at the back.
Yeah, I know.
Just says all entities of Circle K Stores Inc. and it goes through and all allocations in the state, all locations in the state of Washington. So somebody, is this a franchise then?
The Circle K ones are, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the this is the franchisor who's authorizing the appeal, not the franchisee.
Okay. They're no longer Circle K, so they're not even under them anymore. They authorized all theirs, and I think they just didn't take them off the list.
Okay.
And he said the guy called him, and he says, well, what numbers could you get me? And he says, I don't know. I'll look into it. And he says, that's the last he heard of them.
Okay. All right. Chuck, any questions?
I don't.
I think we're good then, aren't we?
I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, well, let's go ahead and close this hearing.
Good morning. This is the Harry Bearing. BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, August 15th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-252-23. The appellant is the Eaton Hudson Corporation with parcel number 1-3299-200-0008-001. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following the hearing, the board will meet to weigh all evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair?
This is a commercial appeal. We allow an hour for these. The appellant does not appear to be present. I'll read from his statement. It says, a market-based income approach supports a value below the assessor's values. Additionally, the assessor incorrectly has the class CD as good, whereas other comparable properties have a class CD rated as average. See attached property reports for Costco, Walmart, Hobby Lobby. Okay, and then they have provided an income analysis, which I'm a little uncertain of how this was derived, because this doesn't appear to be actual income. As they say, it's market rent is based on big box leases, retail leases. Now, do you know, is this building owned by Dayton Hudson Target, or is it leased to them?
Ooh, good questions.
It's owned by Dayton Hudson.
It is owned by Dayton Hudson.
Yeah.
Then I don't understand the market rent based on big box retail leases, since this is an owned property. Clearly, I also don't understand the vacancy allowance. Vacancy and collection allowance of 6%, if in fact they own the building and they're the sole tenant. That to me doesn't make a lot of sense.
Is it possible that they're just the landlord?
Well, I mean, it is a Target store. I think they're owned by Dayton Hudson. So,
well, yeah, but is Dayton Hudson renting it to Target?
I don't know. Was anything provided to us that alluded to that?
There was no lease agreements or anything like that
kind of stuff.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they own it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just lease price. lease values are a lot less, so that's why I'm sure it was included.
Okay. And they have several pages out of your package, apparently, or what they got online. Okay. Additionally, they have provided a comparable leases summary, which again, I'm not understanding relative to the basis of this particular property, since it doesn't appear to be leased property. Again, lease comps. And then they have, again, cap rate support, which is unclear where it came from. They apparently have several different cap rates that they've gotten through different sources that they've averaged and use that as the basis. So, I mean, this is a confusing package because I don't understand the basis of their appeal. Okay, I guess with that, I'd like to hear from the assessor.
Right. So, just jump right in. On page 15 is our sales, R15. We gave you a bunch of sales across the county. The ones that I look to is 1, 2, 3, 6, and 11.
Okay. Let me get that here. 1, 2, what was it?
3, 6, and 11.
Okay.
That's going to be the At Home, the Highland Center, the Sportsman, the Trampoline and Putt-Putt Golf Little Center on Columbia Center, and the Marine Land.
Yeah, now none of these sales are of the size of the subject, right? The first one comes close. The first two come, one and two, I guess, come close. But
they come close.
Yeah, okay. Way below.
Yeah, that's why I knocked the other ones out, because I didn't put this together. I'm just...
Okay. So do you have revised average and median values for just those?
Yeah, the mean now is going to be 145.66, and the median is going to be 147.91.
Okay.
So, of course, it's going to be... The difference is going to be 45.
So it came down a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We also have a cost approach on the page before. That's going to be 13,890,865, which is 2,623,165 more than us, and 4,180,865 more than the tax rep. Then I just started looking at their sales. Their first one is in Bonnie Lake.
Yeah, they're all out of the area.
Yeah, and their data says it's been vacant for 99 months. So it's really hard to, and like you said, their lease comps, not sales. It has a concession of 16%, it says on their paper. So that means that it should be 16% more if it wasn't vacant. And that
dark properties just don't have the same value.
Yeah. And they say the whole vacant, the whole thing was vacant. There was nothing leased at all.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if there's something wrong with the property. Yeah. So.
And it's hard to tell. I mean, it's a totally different market than here.
Right. I understand.
It's bizarre. I mean, Spokane Valley, that's not in our area. Clackamas, Oregon, that's south of Portland. So that's not
right.
So he's having to search for ones just to get it low. He has to search really far. Number four is the same home as ours, but they put it down as it was built or renovated in 2019. So I looked it up. We have the permits and stuff, and all they did was change their HVAC. So I don't think that that means that you change the I certainly wouldn't change the effective date to 2019 because you changed the HVAC. I mean, it's just not the way things are done. In that case, then we'd be updating everything to within the last 5 years.
Right.
And then why use it as a lease when there was an actual sale? So I just, that one. Then the number five is another one in Tacoma. So I looked up in the, we have the assessment valuation book that was put out by the IAAO. And they said the following factors are considered. Number one is the date of the lease. Number two is the location. Number three is the physical characteristics of the property. And number four is the terms of the lease. So location is number two. And none of these are really in our area except for the one, and they messed it up by changing the date of the effective date.
That's the at home, right?
Yeah. And
so you, they're saying Belt renovated 2019, and what date did you have?
We have for the effective year on that one, we have it as... Yeah.
I can get it. Well, yeah. Because it wasn't renovated. It was just HVAC and cleaned up a little.
6069.
Well, let's see. That was the old Toys R Us store, wasn't it?
It was the old Shopko.
Shopko, okay.
Yeah. And so they basically just kind of cleaned up the front on the outside and did new HVAC. It's not a full remodel that would make it essentially a three-year-old building, is what they're saying.
Yeah. We have it as 1990.
Okay.
And then their sixth one is in, I always get the name wrong, Puyallup or Puyallup or something like that.
Puyallup. Puyallup.
Okay.
Puyallup.
So then, and then their data is by CoStar. So we know how great CoStar is. Their stuff is very inaccurate in the area. So,
okay, I think we've got what we need at this point. Peter, Chuck, questions?
Not for me.
Oh, I don't have any.
Okay. With that, Marisol, let's go ahead and close the hearing, and we'll deliberate.